Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Cohen's Corner. We are recording this on Christmas Eve, so it seems apropos that one of the biggest Christmas presents that the Mets have gotten this year, along with, obviously, Max Scherzer and all the other players they signed, was hiring Buck Showalter to be their new manager. And this is something that Jake and I have been talking about a lot over the last year. Jake, in particular, has been very vocal about wanting Buck Showalter to be the Mets manager. And I've definitely been on that train, but probably not as gung-ho about it as he has. So I'm going to let him talk about that. We're definitely going to chat about what this means for the Mets going forward, how we think it's going to impact the team this year. And, you know, that's been basically the Mets' major news over the last few weeks. So we're going to give you all of our Buck Showalter thoughts. And then we're also going to talk a little bit, since this is Christmas, about some major, not that major as it turns out, some Mets transactions that have happened around Christmas and over the years, as well as some notable Mets birthdays on or around Christmas. There aren't that many also, so we're going to kind of dive into those few players that we know of that have been born on / around Christmas to keep it kind of holiday themed. But to start us off, as I mentioned, obviously the biggest Mets news since the lockout began was hiring Buck Showalter to be their new manager. I believe they signed him to a 3-year contract, so hopefully he'll be around for at least those 3 years. And yeah, as I said, Jake has been very excited about the possibility of the Mets hiring Buck Showalter. He seemed to be the obvious candidate. So Jake, kind of what are your thoughts now that it actually has come to fruition? The Mets have hired Buck Showalter to be their manager. What are your thoughts? Either your initial thought when Steve Cohen tweeted the news, because how else would this news have come out? And also kind of why you think this is so important for the Mets?
I think it's important in a bunch of different ways. I mean, if you look at it, Buck gives you more experience than anybody you could have hired probably would give you. He's going to command that respect to the locker room. His players, every player he's had, I mean, look at a couple of weeks ago, Adam Jones was calling into radio shows, whoever wanted to hear about how great of a manager Buck Showalter was and how the Mets really should hire him. And there's so many of Buck's former players that have come out to say how great of a fit he would be for the team. And I mean, that just says a lot about not only the manager he is, but the person he is too. I mean, look over the years, when the Mets hired Mickey Callaway, right, he was preaching in his press conference, so we need to communicate with the players, basically saying how he wanted to be best friends with the players. That's basically what I took out of it. Rojas, kind of the same. He was more of a buddy-buddy, kind of more of a friend, not really a leader. I don't know. From the outside looking in, that's what it seemed like. Buck Showalter, you're going to get a completely different culture in this team. I mean, he's going to hold his players accountable. The Lindor McNeil crap never would have happened. At least, I mean, maybe they would have fought. But the way they portrayed it in the media about the rat and the raccoon, that crap never would have happened. I mean, the thumbs down probably never would have happened because, remember, Rojas was like, oh, I had no idea what it meant. Buck Showalter is going to have his finger on everything in that clubhouse. He's going to know what's going on in that clubhouse. He's going to be a great leader for this team. And, I mean, I know he hasn't won a World Series, but he's turned a lot of franchises around. I mean, look what he did. The Orioles were horrible, and look what he did with them. I mean, the Diamondbacks were an expansion franchise in their second year they were going to the playoffs. The Rangers never went to the playoffs with the Rangers, but he had an 89-win season with them when they weren't a good team. I mean, and obviously the Yankees, where he started his career, and it's kind of cool for him to come full circle and come back to New York, and hopefully now he can get a championship here and win one for us. That'd be amazing. But, yeah, like you said, Elizabeth, I feel like on our show I've been preaching for Chris Bryant and Buck Showalter. Those are the two
practically
names
since our very first episode. After.
Yeah, basically since our first show. So, I mean, it's kind of like we're living in bizarro world, and we touched on this the last episode, but the fact that the Mets are making these competent moves, and I completely understand it's all new ownership, and that's the main reason, if not the only reason why, but they're making competent moves. They're signing the players they need to sign. Obviously, we got Marte, Escobar, Canna, Max Scherzer. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I if you told me this a couple of years ago that this is what our team would look like now, I mean, I would have said you're crazy. But kudos to Steve Cohen. Great that he broke the news. I love that. I know that'll drive some people crazy, but I love that.
Why not? I mean, yeah, he did the final interviews, so I guess he would
excited.
Know.
They were going to release the news Monday, but he was so excited to announce that they hired Showalter. He tweeted it out himself on Saturday, so he's obviously as excited as we are. I think the press conference went as we probably would have expected. He didn't make a fool of himself by any means. He said all the right things, said he's going to embrace analytics, which I think he will. I don't know why people say he's going to be kind of turn his head to analytics. I think he's going to take any edge that he can get. And he said that no team is going to have better knowledge than the Mets. Like, we're not going to lose because another team beat us because they have better knowledge. They know what's going on. So I'm ecstatic about this move. I think it was the move they had to make. Obviously, like you said, it was the obvious choice.
He was right there. Like,
yeah,
he
exactly.
Was. Yeah,
how many
exactly.
Years has a manager that we wanted been right there and the Mets would go with this out-of-the-box hire? I mean, it's nice that
they finally made the common sense move, I mean, if you want to put it that way. But I think it's a great move for the team. There's more work to be done when this lockout ends. This offseason has gone as well as any of us could have hoped.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting in his press conference how he also mentioned how impressed he was with the other candidates that the Mets were interviewing. He said this like a few times too about how, you know, obviously he's the most experienced actual manager of the bunch, but it seemed like he was kind of impressed with the process overall, aside from just him being a part of it. And so I guess that definitely speaks well to the type of competence that the Mets are actually aiming for now. Because you're right, I feel like a lot of the moves this offseason, I think the theme for me has just been not overthinking it too much. You know, there's these really good players out there that we were like, hey, you know, if the Mets can get Max Scherzer, they should. He's the best pitcher available. And they actually did. You know, Buck Showalter, probably based on what we've been saying, the best manager candidate available. Maybe they should just try to hire him. And they did. You know what I mean? So obviously we don't know all the inside information that these teams are considering when making these signings or hires. But it does seem like they've kind of been, kind of like we talked about, some common sense in terms of the value of some of these players and candidates available that they seem to have seen as well and have the actual pedigree to acquire, which, you know, maybe these types of players, obviously there's been good players available for every offseason in the last 12 years, but I feel like the Mets haven't gone out and actually just gotten these obvious really good candidates for their team in a while. That's definitely really nice to see in terms of, hey, you know, Buck Showalter, this really experienced manager, something the Mets haven't had since Terry Collins, since the last good team they actually had. I feel like this would probably be the good move. And it seems like, not that they're not overthinking it, meaning there seems to be doing their due diligence in terms of, you know, looking at a lot of other candidates who have been with successful teams. But it does seem like, it seems like they're kind of on the same page as the fans about some things in terms of, it seems like there's been a lot of like lockstep between things that we think would be good moves and then moves that have actually been made, which isn't always the case, but it's been very refreshing. I mean, to be like, hey, think something into existence and then it actually has ended up happening. Like with Scherzer, we're like, hey, this, can you imagine? And then it actually happened. Same with Buck Showalter. An advantage here is that there were really only two teams looking at managers right now, which is the Mets and the A's. So it's not like they had a lot of other teams competing for Buck Showalter as manager now, which probably was an advantage for them. So, and again, similar to them signing Scherzer, which obviously was a lot more money and probably a bit more of a maybe uncertain process, but it does seem like they kind of just went with the obvious best move here, which doesn't always happen, as we know, with the Mets.
I just think it's so funny because think back, what, a month and a week ago, people were saying, oh, the Mets don't have a general manager. They don't have a manager. They haven't signed any, they're not going to be able to sign any players. This is going to be a disaster. Like, look where we're at now. I mean, that's why you kind of just got
to – people just love to predict disaster.
And see what they do. Like, everyone's in such a rush. And, I mean, I was saying, too, yeah, we got to get a GM. But, I mean, there wasn't really much activity going on at all. I mean, people would point to maybe, oh, the Mets could have got Bob Melvin. Like, a couple things that if they had had a front office in place, maybe Syndergaard would have wanted to stay. Well, if Syndergaard decided to stay, are we shelling out that money to Max Scherzer? I mean, maybe we are, because reports are saying that even if the Mets had gotten Gausman, they still would have been going hard after Scherzer just as hard as they still were. So I don't know. I mean, but it's just funny to look back and think basically a month ago, the Mets people thought were in shambles and they didn't know what was going to go on. No front office in place, no manager. Now we have Billy Epler, who's done a hell of a job in his first month. We have Starling Marte, Mark Canna, Eduardo Escobar, Max Scherzer, and now we have Buck Showalter. I mean, it's great. I mean, and they're adding depth at the minor league level. They've signed a couple outfielders. I mean, they're doing things that winning organizations do. They're hiring the right people, making the right moves, bringing in veteran leaders when we all know this clubhouse needed a change. This
and that's what we were saying. There's nothing wrong with veterans because like the teams that actually win World Series have veteran leadership, like teams that make it far in the playoffs. It's not just all wide-eyed younger players who have never
won anything. We still have young guys. Like this isn't like the 2013 Knicks. Remember when the Knicks were good and they were like, oh, the Knicks are so old. Their players are almost all 40 years old. This isn't the case. I mean, yeah, the Mets have some veteran players, but I mean, they still have a young core. Like Pete Alonso is still a very young player. Francisco Lindor, what, he's 28 years old. It's not like he's this grandpa. So, I mean, and I think Buck Showalter is going to be huge for Lindor because that to have such a great leader as your manager, I mean, I think it's going to take a lot of the load off Lindor's shoulders and it's going to hold Lindor accountable. And I think it'll be big for him. I mean, obviously this isn't the main reason why he performed, but in Cleveland, I mean, he had a very well-proven manager in Terry Francona. So, I mean, obviously that helps, and I think it'll be
it'll be a big boost for him to have a veteran leader as his manager that'll be in his corner, and but it's also going to hold him accountable, because Adam Jones talked about that in the interview I was talking about, where he was pushing for Showalter to get hired. And he was saying that Buck showed him a lot of tough love early in his career, but it really paid off for him. So maybe that's something Francisco needs. Obviously, he hit well the whole second half last year pretty much, and he returned to his previous form. So I'm really not that worried about him, but I think out of all the players that'll benefit from Showalter being hired, I think Lindor is definitely one of them.
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't really thought about how that would affect him specifically. You're right. Francona, and you know, he's been the manager in Cleveland for a while now, and they weren't so great last year, but they've generally been very good.
They're always over competitive. That time.
Yeah, exactly. And they've always they've had a lot of talented young players, a lot of pitchers specifically, but a lot of talented players like Lindor and Jose Ramirez like come through their system. And also, I feel like Buck Showalter is the type of manager who, just with his pedigree alone and the knowledge that he has, will just command respect. And the sense, again, that I got from his press conference is that he'll be very, like, hopefully. And it's hard to know sometimes how, like, in-season manager press conferences will be based on their introductory press conference. But it seemed like he was very, like, thoughtful in how he answered questions and seemed to be, like, really wanting to give in-depth answers. And it seemed like he really just was very enthusiastic about everything he was saying. And he also talked a lot about how much he enjoys the collaboration process. Like, he's not going to rule with an iron fist. This isn't the 70s. Like, he's not, you know, he's not like a blustering, like, old type of manager. So I don't think if people are expecting like a hothead, like, that's not what he is. It's funny. I was messaging someone about this too. He just has a very like manager look, you know, looks like someone you would cast as a manager in a baseball movie.
Yeah. I was thinking that. Yeah.
Which maybe that's just because he looks like a lot of old baseball managers. That's probably what it is, which obviously is a very superficial way to look at it. But that's just kind of, he just had a very like manager aura to me, rather than a coach that was promoted to be the manager.
Yeah, no, I don't even know if it's hit me yet, like these moves they've made. And it's great. It's a great time to be a Mets fan. You're right. Buck Showalter is the quintessential kind of movie manager. Like, he looks like the guy that played Art Howe in Moneyball, kind of, you know what I mean? Like that kind of feel to him. But yeah, I know. And hopefully, like you said, who knows with the initial press conference, how many coaches in this town, any sport, have had great press conferences and then turned out to be busts. So, I mean, but we know what Buck Showalter is. Like, that's the thing. He's not this new manager that you're not sure what you're going to get, how he is in game. Like, everyone you speak to that knows Buck Showalter, that you hear from, they say that Buck's the most prepared manager they've ever seen. You're not going to lose a game because you've been outmanaged. Like, Buck is just, he's all about winning. He's all about doing everything he can to make his team better. And yeah, that's what, like you said, I don't know. He's going to collaborate. Like, it's not like people are.
He's not ruling with an iron fist here. Like, I don't get that vibe.
He's going to want any advantage that he can get. Why is he going to turn down information that can help his team win? That just,
he's not a dinosaur. I feel like people have had people who have been against him think he's like some sort of dinosaur who's like out of touch. But I mean, he's been around, even though he hasn't been managing since 2018, he's been around the game. Like, he even mentioned that he's, you know, been an analyst sometimes on MLB Network. He's done some broadcasts. He did some postseason broadcasts this year as well. So it's not like he doesn't know what's going on. He hasn't been totally away from baseball since he managed the Orioles. He's been tuned in. And because people were like, oh, how can he manage in a modern game? And I'm like, this isn't like a Tony La Russa situation where it's been a decade.
That's
you know,
thing.
He managed
three
years ago.
Like, what? Yeah.
I don't think that comparison. He's also 10 years younger than Tony La Russa. So it's not, again, I think roping him in with the idea of a super old manager coming back from the grave to manage, that's not what we're getting. Like, I feel like that's kind of been the impression, at least, that I've seen from some people who were against hiring him. But I don't think that's a fair comparison at all. Like, it doesn't, I just don't think that their situations are at all similar. Like, him and Tony La Russa, for example. Or, I mean, Dusty Baker's been consistently managing, so that's a little bit different. To assume he's like an out of touch dinosaur that isn't, that's just wrong. I feel like that's not correct.
I could see why people would think that about La Russa, because he was out of the game for 10 years,
right?
But yeah,
and is quite a bit older as well. Like,
so it's, and most of the players that Showalter was managing, they're all still in the league, so it's not like he's that out of touch. I mean, if Buck Showalter can handle a 20-year-old Manny Machado, I mean, I don't think he'll have problems handling these younger players. I mean, Machado's like up there with all of them as a diva and maybe hard to kind of manage, and Machado loved him. So that's why I think I've been saying to some people that that might be a possibility for them at third base. If they get to the end of the offseason and they don't make a move for Chris Bryant, or they don't get another bat in the lineup, I think they could use another bat. Who knows? Maybe, I've heard San Diego's trying to unload that contract.
Really?
He's getting paid, $30 million through 2028.
said through Machado's 35 season. So, I mean, but yeah, you never know. I mean, with the money Machado's making, the Padres might want to offload that. They've already been talking that they want to trade Hosmer. Apparently, they were close to a Hosmer trade this past year. So, who knows? I wouldn't mind Machado coming over. Like I said, he's got a great glove and he can hit. I mean, he's had a couple down years the last couple of years, but obviously, we all know I've been pushing Buck Showalter. I've obviously also been pushing Chris Bryant. So
we're one down. Okay. to go.
What do you think? Would you, if all the options you have on the free agent market left, and I guess the trade market too, who would you want them to make a run at?
Gosh, it's been so long since anyone was signed. I like forgot who's available. I mean, okay. They definitely need, I'm still thinking pitching is the most important thing. I know like Bryant would be a great fit. So if they can somehow land like Rodon, that would be cool. Or some other pitcher. They do need more hitting, obviously, always. But so besides Bryant,
I think they're going to make a trade. They're going to make some kind of trade.
Maybe, but they haven't shown any indication that they're willing to trade top prospects, though. So I don't know who that magical target
is. I think they're going to trade from the major league roster, either Dom Smith, JD Davis, or Jeff McNeil. And then
I would rather, if they're going to, I would rather do that than trade, like, Ronnie Mauricio for someone. Because at this point, a lot of these prospects are, like, have been kind of progressing over the last couple of years. We shall see. I know we've seen some rumors that they might try to trade for Luis Castillo from the Reds, who I feel like is always being thrown around in trade conversations. Like the Yankees were trying to trade for him last offseason. Apparently every team's trying to trade for him this offseason. So I don't know if that's actually going to happen or if that's just someone that's theoretically available that the Mets have been linked to.
Imagine they had that three-headed monster in the top of the rotation.
Well, that would be nice. That would be great. And
but I don't want to give up the farm to get him.
No, I don't. Like, that's the thing. I don't either. And I feel like there's still enough pitchers they can sign where they can kind of go, like we were saying, the Dodger method of trying to build up all these good players, because you can never have enough good players in the minor leagues. Like, it's not a problem to have two great third basemen in the minors. You can always figure that out later, especially if they both hit well. I'm not so concerned myself with trying to come up with mock trade ideas, but you know, there's still more to be done even after hiring Showalter and signing those four players that they did and also making some of those minor league signings. So yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see when the lockout does end. I feel like it'll probably be a big flurry of signings.
Yeah, it'll be like right before the lockout, I feel like, especially if the lockout extends as long as we think it's going to.
I mean, it could be till like February possibly. So I don't really know. Yeah, in terms of like blockbuster signings, I don't see another like huge signing happening probably, you know, in terms of long years or lots of money, just because that just might be a little bit unreasonable at this point, but who knows? I mean, maybe I'm totally wrong about that. I feel like at some point we have to like rein it in. Definitely, I feel like Buck Showalter for sure was the right choice for this team at the moment. If a team that actually says we want to win in the next few years, obviously all managers have to come from somewhere. It's not like every new manager is going to be a failure, because every experienced good manager was once a rookie manager. So at some point, someone had to take a chance on them. So I think Showalter actually mentioned that in his press conference as well, talking about the importance of grooming like new managers in some capacity. That doesn't have to be like every team's situation all the time. You know, I think the A's are hiring Mark Kotze, who is a longtime major league player, to be their manager. And maybe he'll turn out to be great. Like, this might be where he gets a start as a great manager. But like we've been saying, for the Mets right now, if they're actually really going for it in the next couple of years, definitely experience was the way to go. And just, again, someone who really commands respect from the team, from around the league, from opposing teams, it just adds a little bit of edge to the Mets. You know, Scherzer definitely helps with that as well. Just some sort of factor that the Mets can feel like they actually have an advantage over the other team. And I feel like Showalter does add that.
Oh, yeah. More often than not, we'll definitely have the advantage in the dugout, 100%. And when's the last time we were able to say that? Maybe once in a while with Terry Collins, but
I never really felt, no offense to Terry Collins, but we were out managing the other team.
No, yep, me neither. That's why I was trying to be nice, maybe.
I love Terry Collins now. Yeah. Like, in retrospect, I should have appreciated him more. And honestly, he's great as like an occasional appearance on SNY. I never felt like he was a brilliant tactician.
No, but he got his teams to play hard for
him.
I think
that absolutely
was his strength. Yeah.
I appreciated his emotion. Obviously, he was very well known for the infamous incident with Tom Halliott, which I still watch fondly every year. May 4th was the anniversary of that?
Yeah.
Mets fans love anniversaries of very innocuous things. Like,
I love Syndergaard in that video trying to act like he didn't do anything.
Oh, my God.
Basketball.
The fact they have that mic'd up however yeah. that was video was acquired is
that
is
was
very,
awesome.
That's very precious to me.
Finest work.
Absolutely. That yes, I love like anniversaries of not actually important moments like that. The Bartolo Colon home run. What are some others? What's like anniversaries that Mets fans celebrate that like
Bobby Bonilla.
Bobby Bonilla Day, okay, which yeah, I guess that's true. Like they
now
did that
it
whole...
is a big deal. Cohen made it like
oh my god, I was like, can it. We just ignore? Because it's like he's not the only player with a deferred contract. Like
no,
for the
Scherzer's
last time,
Scherzer's getting like $15 million or something crazy from the Nationals starting this year.
Yeah, yo, that's the thing. It's like again, the Mets. All people always love to make the Mets the butt of every joke and like every disaster somehow relates to them. But it's like Bobby Bonilla. For the probably not the last time is not the only player with a long-term deferred contract. And I'm sure he's sitting pretty with that deferred contract now. Yeah. There's all sorts of like anniversaries of things. I always find that funny when those come up anniversaries or even random things, random games, the Omir Santos game. That always comes up on my feed.
Every
Do you
year
remember
I see
that?
Whenever the anniversary comes up of David Wright making the bare hand catch.
The bare hand catch. I think that was in August. So that always comes up.
This
yeah.
just shows how much success we've had as a franchise that these are the anniversaries we look forward to.
Literally. It's like Bartolo Colon home run day is literally like a holiday.
Like
now.
We won and the World Series every
yeah,
year.
Yeah. I know. And it's like that didn't even matter in the course of the game. But it was still a good moment. That is true. Speaking of anniversaries, I kind of wanted to transition into, you know, since it is around Christmas, we're recording this on Christmas Eve. You're probably listening to this sometime after that. But I wanted to take a look back and see if there were any kind of notable either Mets birthdays on or around Christmas or notable transactions. Because, you know, in normal years where there's no lockout, teams can make trades and signings any day of the year. So was just looking at this list on Baseball Reference of all players born on Christmas. And there were not very many prominent Mets players on here. The most prominent of any of these players is Ricky Henderson, who obviously is not, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame, not best known for being on the Mets, but was actually a Met on one of their most successful recent seasons in 1999. Which I didn't actually realize, because again, I don't want to make anyone listening to this sound old, but I wasn't watching the Mets in 1999. I was too young, but I didn't realize he actually played like 121 games for them that year and was like a decent part of their team. And then it was also again on the Mets briefly in 2000. So Christmas birthdays, Ricky Henderson is probably the most prominent. Also a couple of other, I don't know if you remember him. There was like a utility infielder from 2007 named Ruben Gotay. Do you remember him? He preceded Luis Castillo in the Luis Castillo random middle infielder role. So he was also born on Christmas.
I love thinking back to like random players, like brings me back to when I was a little kid, you know, like thinking about these random players.
Yeah, like when he came up on this list, I was like, I remember him. He played 98 games with the Mets in 2007. He hit .295. Wow. Okay. I didn't remember that. He had 4 home runs. Okay. I didn't realize he was actually that good.
Do you have a favorite random Met that literally accomplished basically nothing as a Met?
You know what?
Like an established player anywhere else. Just like.
You know who I actually do always remember fondly, and it was because of one particular moment, was Damian Easley. For that one time when he hit an inside the park home run. I have very vivid memories of watching that because he looked so exhausted in the dugout afterwards. And he wasn't like a fast player.
He was a good player.
He was pretty decent utility.
Decent career.
I don't know. I've always really liked him, but mostly just because of that. Because I wrote an article for Rising Apple a while ago about Mets inside the park home runs since 2000 or whatever. And there haven't been that many. The most recent was Nimmo 3 years ago. Yes, Damian Easley hit an inside-the-park home run for the Mets once, and it was a very exciting time, and I remember watching that on TV, but I just remember he was, like, literally looked like he took his last breath after that. He looked so tired in the dugout afterwards. So, yeah, I don't know what he's up to now, but in terms of, like, random utility Mets who didn't materially impact the team, I would say he's someone I've always remembered randomly for whatever reason, even though I forgot plenty of Mets since then.
Do you remember Corey Sullivan?
Yeah, only because I've seen his name. I don't actually have any memories of him, but I know he existed.
The first game I ever went to at Citi Field in 2009, they were playing the Cubs. I remember that was back when like Cubs had like Derek Lee.
Oh yeah,
he was like their best player at the time.
Yeah, I remember him.
And we had Corey Sullivan. He hit a home run that day, and I was sitting down the right field line, and he hit it off. I guess it was the Pepsi porch at the time. He hit it like right off the facing of it. So I always remember Corey Sullivan. The two things I remember playing, Corey Sullivan played and Josh Tolley was their catcher. I mean, Tolley had just made his debut, I think.
Josh Tolley.
Oh, Josh Tolley.
TBT. I just, I feel like one of his finest moments was catching Johan's no-hitter. His first day back from the injury list, or I guess it was the DL then. But that was his first day. I forget he had a concussion, I think. He was back from an injury, and that was his first game. And then he caught Johan's no-hitter. But, yes.
We should have an episode one time of just talking about random Mets.
Yes. Well, I'll notate it for later. There's plenty to talk about. Or just like one hit wonders, literally, where they're known for one hit. That would be a good idea.
I feel like Mike Baxter, he's mainly like the one, when you think Mike Baxter,
the one catch wonder,
the catch for Santana. Other than that, I can't tell you really any other Mike Baxter moment that I think of.
He actually had like two. Okay. One other memorable Mike Baxter moment that I randomly wrote an article about Mike Baxter also recently, completely coincidental, but he actually had the walk-off hit in the Matt Harvey game against the White Sox. Do you remember that game that was like the best start?
Oh, yeah. Rios broke up that.
Where
Amy had that infield single, right?
Yes. So that was the game where Matt Harvey threw 9 innings, and I think he struck out like 12 or something, allowed the one hit. Yeah,
13.
But then he got a no decision because it was tied after 9 innings. And Mike Baxter had the walk-off hit in that game. So that was so it didn't really matter for Matt Harvey, but the Mets did end up winning. I think he also – one of the things that also made that notable was he also had another walk-off hit that same week. So he had didn't play that much, but he had two walk-off hits for the Mets in the same week in 2013. Yeah, now he's a hitting coach at Vanderbilt. So
I saw that. Good for him. It's a good school.
So, and obviously they're known for producing a lot of really good players, as we know. So yeah, in terms of Mets Christmas birthdays, there's like a couple other random players besides Ruben Gotay, who apparently was better than I remember because I don't remember that he hit .295. Jack Hamilton, who was on the Mets in like the 60s. There's a few like random people.
Oh, that was my favorite player growing up.
Oh yeah. Remember him? I don't. Let's see. Oh, Tom O'Malley. I don't know who that was.
Heard of him.
You think he played in like 1990? Yeah. So not very many notable ones. Tom O'Malley. Yes. He was on the Mets in 1989 or 1990 and 1990. Only had 144 plate appearances with the Mets. So not super well known. If anyone knows anything about Tom O'Malley, please comment or let us know. I have never heard of him. Who else? Dennis Musgraves? I don't know who that is. But he played for the Mets. Let's see. In 1965, that was his only season. He only made one start ever. And he only appeared in 5 major league games ever. And it was for the Mets in 1965. So
solid.
There you go. Claim to fame. That was it. Congratulations. And then, so that's basically it in terms of players born on Christmas. As we know, we'll give a belated happy birthday to the captain, David Wright, who was born on December 20th. So not quite Christmas, but close enough.
Close enough.
And the Mets have been posting a lot of David Wright content because they can't post about current players.
They can't post anything else.
So for all we know, he's still playing, basically. So that's basically Mets Christmas birthdays. And then in terms of Mets Christmas transactions, the most recent, I have a very vivid memory of this for whatever reason, but most recently in 2019, the Mets made the Dellin Betances blockbuster 1-year, $10 million signing official on Christmas
Eve. That worked out nicely.
Yes, that was really a game changer for nobody. But it's sad because, we were just saying, I remember actually being excited about it at the time.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up. I actually was like, oh my God, they actually signed a player. This is unbelievable. And I couldn't believe it. Because I just expect them to sign no one. And do you remember around that time, Brody Van Wagenen had that tweet that was like, Merry Christmas, Mets fans. Get used to all these new faces. And it's Rick Porcello, Michael Wacha, Dellin Betances, and Jake Mariznick. And I'm like, oh my God. That tweet, he meant it at the time, but in retrospect,
it's kind of Brody Van Wagenen era, I don't look back on as fondly. You know what I mean?
Other than drafting.
But yeah, I was excited about the Betances signing at the time, too. I mean, we're like, oh, my God, they gave a reliever $10 million. What world are we living in? This is amazing. And now look at the world. Look at us now. Look at us now.
We are fools.
We are swimming in the dough.
But also, Dellin Betances was washed at the time because he he'd come off of an injury a season where he hadn't played, right?
He's going to be all right.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Sucked. Another great Yankee that
they knew what they were doing.
A bum.
Because I was thinking at the time, I was like, why wouldn't the Yankees have re-signed him? And then I'm like,
I guess they
knew. They knew it was over. Yeah, his shoulder was probably cooked.
Crazy too, because he's not that old. Like, and his body just broke down. He was so dominant.
Yeah.
Like early in his career, like a couple of Jeters last seasons. Mm-hmm. Betances was just—he was one of the most dominant relievers in the game.
Well, that's why we were excited, because he had been, you know, other than that 1 year of being injured, he had had a lot of really good years with the Yankees that we had seen hearing about them as Mets fans. So that's, yes, I remember that. It was on Christmas Eve when they announced that. And I was like, woo, let's go. And then it didn't work out. I think he appeared in one game this year, which might have been one game too many, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So other than that, and then not to be a downer, but this wasn't a Mets specific signing, but also on Christmas Eve in 2015, postseason hero Daniel Murphy signed with the Washington Nationals and not with the Mets. So that was a little bit sad. Not a really Christmas
gift.
That's
one of Alderson's biggest mistakes, is letting him walk away. How do you let him leave? Even we're all saying this. I mean, after what he did in the playoffs, and he was a homegrown player.
Yeah.
How do you let him leave and then replace him with a washed Neil Walker? Ay, ay, ay.
And didn't they sign Asdrubal Cabrera that offseason too?
I liked Asdrubal. Asdrubal was – I loved him as a Met.
Yeah, but I just remember being so sad about Murphy leaving, because I was like – because, again, they just had the magical postseason run.
Yeah, and he carried them to the whole World Series. I get he had a couple errors in the World Series that hurt them, but –
Without Murphy, we weren't getting
that far.
Exactly. So unfortunately, yes, that wasn't someone signing with the Mets, but rather somebody leaving the Mets. And obviously he went to like be very good with the Nationals for a couple of years.
Yeah, he almost won the MVP.
Yeah, I think the next year. I think in 2016.
And he killed the Mets. He had like 20 RBIs against the Mets.
Yeah, sad. So yeah, sorry to bring everyone down. Bit of a coal in the Christmas stocking moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, let's cheer everybody up with Dylan Betances and Daniel Murphy leaving.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, maybe I should have led with that and then talk about David Wright's birthday. Oh no, but that sometimes makes me sad too, because then he was injured. I don't know. We'll end on the biggest Christmas present this year was the Mets actually signing good players and hiring a competent manager. So honestly, even though it didn't happen on Christmas, I'm taking that as a win. I'm taking that as a Christmas present.
It's a great holiday present. Came around the first sprinkles came around Thanksgiving, around Black Friday.
Mm-hmm. Black Friday, yes. The Mets killed it on Black Friday, as we know.
I think as a Mets fan, you couldn't ask for anything more to this point. I mean, obviously, like we've said, they have more work to do when the lockout ends. But up to this point, no complaints from me. And that's rare, but no complaints. No complaints.
I'm shocked.
From me. Yeah, I know.
Yes. I feel like anyone complaining about the Mets at this point is just trying to make something up. You know, sometimes I think it's warranted to pick apart moves they've made. Anyone who actually has a problem with anything they've done so far, to me, is totally just manufacturing.
Yeah. Those are the people that are just always negative about everything.
Right. I'm like, that's going.
You're not
going
to please them.
I'm feeling great about the Mets right now. I'm very happy. That may change. It probably will change. But at the moment, I am very happy with what they've done. So I have nothing bad to say. Which is, again, it's rare that we have nothing to criticize. But I'm enjoying this very brief period of an oasis of wonderfulness. So that's nice.
It's been a great offseason so far. The Mets are giving us some reason to be happy going into the holiday season, during the holiday season, which we haven't been able to say maybe ever. So it's great, but hopefully everybody can kind of enjoy this and spend time with their families and stay safe and healthy, and just know that our team's heading in the right direction for the first time in a long time.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Cohen's Corner. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at NYMFan97. You can follow Jake at Giblin_Jake. And of course, please follow our podcast Twitter at Cohen's Corner Pod. We will be tweeting this episode out and also coming up with some really fun episode ideas coming up. Doesn't look like the lockout is going to be ending quite as soon as we would like. So we have some fun episodes planned for January. And so we'll be coming to you with all of those very soon. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your holiday season. And as always, let's go Mets.